So I grew up attending church, even as a little boy. So the first church that our family attended, because we kind of went to church pretty much every Sunday, was Trinity United Church of Canada in Nelson, British Columbia. Yeah, anyways, who here also grew up going to church? So you're 4, you're 5, you're 6, you're 7, okay, all right. Good. So maybe you'll understand this story because our family went to church and it was one of those churches with like robes and choirs and pipe organs and people being very serious and stuff. And it sometimes got a little long. And my dad was one of the ushers. And that meant that after the service, there'd be about 4, maybe 5 guys that go into the church office and they would count the money. Apparently that's pretty important. And so they'd be doing that, and so we would have to wait, and we would have to wait. And it was, if you're 8, it is boring to wait. All right, so I remember having to wait for him to, would you please just count it? And then, but there was one thing, redeeming factor about this church, because it had a big thing with a balcony and an organ and stuff, but it had, in the Christian Ed wing, there were 3 stories of classrooms, and there, I remember this vividly, because there were these 2 stairwells at either end of the classrooms, which meant if you're 8 with a lot of energy, then you could just three stories of high speed action while you wait. And so, of course, you know, I was doing the laps, you know, ripping around while we waited for my dad to finish up with whatever was happening in the church office. And I remember that this was one of those memories, and I don't even know why, you know, in the past couple of weeks, this memory came back so vividly, but I remember ripping around there, and then I got outside the church office. And I was thinking, what are they doing in there? Like, that could take, like, forever. And listening and hearing things being said, that these were some new words to me. Where now, as a grown-up, I now understand this to be the F-bomb. And the S-bomb. Is S a bomb? I'm not sure. This. Anyways, it is. Okay, apparently, you would know. All right, there we go. So, anyway. Yeah, that's right. She's a high school, high school counselor teacher. Yeah, so she's gonna know. She knows about you know the higher levels of language. Anyways, I didn't even know what these words meant, but I was pretty sure that they weren't church words. And I know that if I was gonna say those words, I would get myself in a heap of trouble. And it was, but what was so funny is I was you know watching. And kind of looking through the crack in the door and seeing the person that I thought was in charge of a bunch of stuff saying these words. Now, I remember that my 8-year-old thought at the time was, gosh, he must really not believe this stuff. Now, as an adult looking back on this, on those childhood memories and all that kind of thing, I mean, I know that somebody having a potty mouth doesn't necessarily mean that they're not a sincere follower of Jesus, or at least trying to be a follower of Jesus. I mean, that is not the test of faith. But I remember that thought crossing through my head. Because this was, and it's funny that one of my earliest memories of church was one of, kind of on some level, a sense of hypocrisy. Like, they say one thing there, but they say very different things there. Something doesn't compute. And I just tell that story because it kind of launches me into why the topic that we're going to, the focal point that we're going to look at today is so important. Because we're in a series called Love Like Jesus, and we're looking at how Jesus said to love like Jesus and doing a deep dive into John chapter 15. And if you've been with us over the last couple of weeks, we're going to be back over some of the same passages, but this time through the lens of what does it mean to live out the love of Jesus at home? Because this is one of the most high impact and scariest places to live our faith. When faith is lived authentically at home, it makes a profound difference in the family and especially in the kids. It's also a place that can be hard. We're just being honest. It's a place where faith is exposed and vulnerable. It's probably the most important place that we live out our faith. But that's also why it can be so difficult sometimes to really live out an authentic faith in Christ. Because the thing is, with the people that are at home with you, they see you at your best, and they see you at your worst. And they see you when you're sick, and they see you when you're tired, and they see you when you're stressed out, and they see the vices you turn to, and the things that you do, and like, they see us when our guard is down. So it's hard. It's scary. And on some level, I mean, let's just be honest, all of us are hypocrites. All of us. Because, you know, if you're a follower of Jesus and you're like, okay, I want to live a Christ-centered life and be an ambassador of Christ in my day and love like Jesus, like I heard that slogan, you know, love like Jesus every day, everywhere, all those things. And we realize there is a significant gap. Some days this much, some days this much, some days less. But, you know, there's a gap between what should be and what is. Can we just be honest about that? I am a hypocrite. Some days more than others. And that's why home is such a scary place sometimes with faith. I realize, ladies, today is mostly about you, but I need just a moment with the men. Just a moment. I need, can I get you to close your eyes for a second? Okay, now some of you aren't going to close your eyes just because the pastor says it, but just help me out. I'm not going to do anything weird. I just need to talk to your man for a second, okay? Will you close your eyes, ladies? Now, gentlemen, I need your eyes. I need your eyes, okay. We're going to have a little honesty moment right now. Who here, when it really comes down to it, you are scared of your spouse? Okay, you can put your hands down. You can put your hands down before she notices that your hand went up. Okay, now you can open your eyes. See, here's why I am terrified of Anita. Now she is every bit the lovely and beautiful woman that she appears to be. It's all authentic. She's the real deal. Got to tell you that. But here's what she has. Here's it's connected to that the superpower that Mary was talking about. She has a really good authenticity detector. I had to authentic. You can fill in whatever you need, so I don't need to do S-bombs in church. But she knows the difference between, because see, I'm kind of like a professional Christian. I don't know if you noticed, but it means I can talk the Christian talk pretty good, and I can probably trick some of you if I'm having a bad day and I'm not really walking with the Lord and not really grounded and rooted in Him. But at home, it's different. Because I got people there, especially one person there, to a lesser degree others, with really good authenticity detectors. And I'm terrified that she'll call my bluff. Because there is nobody in the world I would like to impress, aside from the Lord, more than her. So she's terrifying at times. Even though she's super nice, she's terrifying. Because home is a difficult place to live out our faith. Now, what we're going to be looking at today is a passage that, well, we've been reading it over the last 3 weeks. But it is right at the core of what it means to have a Christian home. It's right at the core of what it means to be authentically living out the love of Christ. And now I was really tempted today because I did want us to go like talk about, you know, living out your faith at home. I was really tempted to do like a lot of verses and lots of studies because, I mean, the Bible has lots of things to say about family. But realize that would, as I was tempted to do that, because I can do that, I'm an educated guy, you know, I know lots of Bible verses and I can talk about them. It just came so clear to me that you can have all these other wonderful principles and lists and, you know, stuff that we do, good advice. But if we haven't got this foundational piece, all of it's for naught. Here's the core of what it means to have a Christian home, is that you have Christ there. We're gonna read John chapter 15, verses 9 through 12, just a few verses. And I'd like us to read them out loud together. I invite you actually to stand so you can have your Bibles open or your Bible apps open. That's good. We're going to put them up on the screen as well. But we're just going to read God's word out loud. And I just pray that for each of us, even as the words come out of our mouth, they would flow into our hearts. Okay, let's read out loud together. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. We're going to read it one more time. I want you to pay attention to three words. First word is remain. What does it mean to remain? The second word is command. What is the command that Jesus is giving? And the third thing is, what is the promise that is associated with that command? We're going to read it again. You're going to pick up on it right away. Can we go back a couple of slides, Rick? No, the other back. There we go. Here we go. Verse 9. Let's read it out loud. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Now, before you sit down, tap three people on the shoulder to remember the who's the each other. See, just tap three people before you sit down so we remember who each other is. Okay. So, what's it mean to remain? Who are we remaining with? Jesus. Okay? What's the command? What's the command that Jesus said? This is my command that you, what is it? As what? As I have loved you. To love each other, that's the command. Now, there's a promise, and there's a joy promise. What is that? What's that promise? My joy will be in you, and your joy will be complete. We're gonna do a deep dive into that. This is important stuff. Okay. So let's talk what it means to be remaining. And sometimes it's helpful to look at things in other translations. So I want to just read some of that passage. This is from the Eugene Peterson translation, The Message. It's more of a phrase-by-phrase translation. It can help us to see some different nuances here. This is good stuff. So, I've loved you, Jesus says, the way my Father has loved me. Stop there before we move on. I've loved you. So who loves first? Who's he loved? Us. So Jesus has loved us first. He's loved us first. So often we think we need to earn the love of God. I'll just get my stuff together, get my poop in a group, you know, and then God will finally be impressed with me. Finally, he will like me. That's not how it works. I've loved you, Jesus says. He already loves you. He already loves me. There's nothing you or I can do to earn his love. It's already been given. All we can do is receive his love. So who's loved first? Who's he loved? If there's only one thing you hear today, hear that. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Everything else is our response to that love. It's not to try to earn it. It's trying to live into it, okay? So then he says, make yourselves at home. That's another aspect of that remaining. Make yourselves at home in my love. In other words, know it so deeply. Experience it so deeply that this love shapes how you see yourself, how you see the people around you, how you see your world. Let it shape you. Remain. Be at home in my love. And I'm reminded that this is like, it's an imperative. It's a, you know that thing when you're getting ready to cross the street and you hit the button and it goes, wait, wait. And then when it's time to walk, it says, walk. Like, here's a little speaker on the pole that's giving you important instructions. Because the traffic is going by. You're like, I want to cross the road. I hit the button. Wait. Now, if I don't heed the wait and I just start walking out onto the road, what's going to happen to me? Bad things. Bad things are going to happen to me. Right. So that's an imperative. Wait. Jesus uses that same tone here. Remain. Or make yourself at home in. It's an imperative. You've got to remember this. You've got to do this. It's not just just hang out, my love. It's going to be good, man. Just chill in my love. There's an active element to it. I've got to remain. I've got to continue to remain. So here, one more word picture. So, you ever done that thing where there's a long extension cord to something that that you have plugged in across the room, and you're too lazy to go over and do what you're supposed to do? It's just unplug it from the wall. So you just grab the end of the cord and ping, yank it from a distance, even though we're not supposed to do. Who's ever done that? Yeah, me too, totally. Stop doing that. But we do it. You know what I mean? Pulling from a distance, pulling the cord out. When Jesus is telling us to remain, what we need to remember is there are forces inside of us and around us that are looking to unplug us from the love of Christ. Remaining is not a neutral thing. There are forces conspiring against you. So whether that's the forces inside of us, my own sin nature, the one that says, well, God, I know you have a plan for my life, but I kind of like mine better. So I'm going to go things my way. Or maybe it's the forces of the world around us, the cultural values that say, this is what success looks like. This is what beauty looks like. This is what importance really is. Here's how you know if you've made it. And we start listening to those things and saying, oh yeah, maybe if I just made some more money, or maybe if I just lost 15 pounds, or maybe if I just did this, then I would really be important. So I'm going to pursue those things as the center of what gives me purpose and meaning and drive in life. Cords trying to disconnect us. And you need to know that there are spiritual forces in this world. You have an enemy who hates you, who does not want you to thrive in your walk with the Lord, who does not want you going to heaven to live with him forever, who does not want your family to be Christ-centered. And those forces are pulling on the cord, trying to get you to disconnect from the power source. Do not be fooled. That's why it's an imperative. Remain in my love. Continue to remain. Hang on tight. One more word picture. Ever seen the thing with the kitten on the tree? Hang in there. You know, the kitten's all freaked out. Because if the kitten lets go, what happens to the kitten? Gravity takes over. Remain in my love, Jesus says. Make your home in my love. Stick your claws in deep, kitten. And hang on tight, because there are consequences for letting go. Remain in my love. And see how the remaining is linked to that, to the command as well. What's the command? What's the command again? Oh, come on. It's only been like 5 minutes since we discussed this. We got to do a little bit better than this, folks. Let's make some noise. What's the command? As who? As I have, just get yourself a wristband. Okay? Right? This is the central command of Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you, and that loving is linked to remaining. That we need to know God's love and we need to show God's love. That's how we remain in God's love. It's knowing and showing that we are looking to experience it first, but then express it. First of all, to the people closest to us, but then further out as well. Knowing and showing God's love. That's what it means to remain. If you keep my commands, what's the command? Yes. You'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. I've kept my Father's commands. I've made myself at home in his love. Let's keep reading. Click. Okay. I've told you these things for a purpose. For a purpose. Okay. What's the purpose? That my joy might be whose joy? Your joy. And your joy might be wholly mature, or the version, the NIV that we read, was that your joy might be complete, right? The New Living Translation translates that as overflowing. So complete joy, mature joy, overflowing joy. So often we think about what God wants from us. He wants your time. He wants you to behave. He wants your money. I don't know. And to a certain degree, those things are true. To a certain degree. But that's not the core of it. So much more important is what God wants for you. What does he want for you? Some of you need to get some more lattes, okay? All right, because we can have a conversation here. What does he want for you? Joy. Where does the joy come from? Him. From him. Stop being plugged into counterfeit joy sources. And we plug into him. Remain in me. And I and you, and you will bear much fruit. John 15, 5. Don't get pulled away. Don't get pulled aside. Don't get disconnected. Don't fall for the tricks, man. Remain in me. Make your home in my love. You want to have a Christian home? Be at home in the love of Christ. Be at home in the love of Christ. I've told you these things. I've told you these things so that your joy, let's go to the next slide. Your joy might be complete, might be mature, might be overflowing. What would it be like in your house if you found that your family was growing in the culture of grace? A culture of grace. I am so convinced it is not about rules. It's not about a plaque on the wall. It's not about exactly what you do as family devotions or how you pray. I'm convinced it is about having a culture of grace in the home. And different people and different families will work those things out different ways. But if you want your children to know the love of Christ, you have got to show that to them. that involves both being, you know, the saying sorry when you do something bad. It involves apologies. It involves fun. It involves enjoying each other's company. It also involves calling each other to our very best behaviors and believing in each other. Encouraging one another to live out the very best of what God has for them and in them. That is a culture of grace. And it's not built on guilt. It's not built on rules. It's not built on obligations. It is built on an overflow of love. And it comes from the joy source. What is the joy source? Who is the joy source? It is Jesus. It is Jesus. Now, on Mother's Day, we often think of some of the people that we really, really admire. I mean, you've had people in your life, women, possibly men in your life, that they just have, there's something about them that is, there's this unflappable, deep taproot joy to them. You know, they're kind of like in the middle of the desert, there's still a fountain of water. Do you know the secret to having a fountain in the middle of the desert? A deep, deep, deep well. You've known people like that, haven't you? Because, you know, it is possible to go through situations that are discouraging and to not be discouraged. Right? You do not have an option about whether or not you will face situations that are frustrating. But we do have the capacity to not simply be frustrated. We can tap in to the deep, deep source of joy. And here I'm not talking about just joy, just like happy joy. Although that's fine, you know, it's fine to have I'm talking about this complete, mature, overflowing. There's enough for me, and so there's plenty for you. Overflowing source of joy. And all of that is linked to remaining in Christ, to finding our home in His love. So I need to ask you, how's your joy level? How's it been the past week? For some, that might be, oh, it's you know, if it's a scale of 1 to 10, you're near out of 10. That's awesome. Can we hang out? For many of us, it varies greatly. And while recognizing that life can be discouraging, recognizing that depression can be a very real thing, and sometimes it's important to get some outside help, nonetheless, Jesus promises that there is a source of strength and peace that surpasses every situation that you or I will ever go through. He wants to be that source of joy. And the secret to it, it's not really much of a secret, it's to remain with Him. So think about what it means for you to be remaining in Christ. I mean, yes, it's helpful to think about some of the habits and actions, like being in God's word on a regular basis. If God's word isn't somewhere near the beginning of your day can get off track really fast. But it's not just about whether or not you checked off, you know, or like I use the YouTube or the YouVersion app a lot, you know, so you can, so I've got these little plans and that's nice. But it's not about checking off a list. It's not about how many times you did your devotions. It's about the depth of the devotion itself. To walk with Christ. To remember, Jesus, I know that You love me. I know that You desire good for me. He's cooling off the room right now. It's good, right? A little hot in here. I know, God, that You have good plans for me. And if you ever doubt the love of God, and it's okay to wrestle with doubts, look straight to the cross. That's the historical, irrefutable historical event that proves Jesus' love for you. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than that he laid down his life for his friends. Friends, Jesus laid down his life for you. What does that make you? If God says you matter to him, who are you to tell yourself something different? If God says you are valuable enough to die for, what lies are you listening to that says your life doesn't matter? We can tap into the deep source of joy. The deep source. So what if our homes were a place that experienced the love of Jesus in all its fullness? Can you just imagine what that would be like? What a compelling, sustaining, nurturing, life-launching environment that would be. What an incredible legacy that could be. If you want a Christian home, have Christ in your home. If you want Christ to be known in your home, have Christ in your heart. Remain in him. Abide with him. Make your home in his love. Because he has great plans for your home. As the worship team comes up, let's just spend a few moments in prayer. It's just not fair for me to talk about responding to the love of God without giving us a chance to respond to the love of God. For some of us, we've probably felt like we somewhere along the line, somewhere we just got a bit off course. We got a bit unplugged. We got a bit distracted. You need to know it is never, ever too late to come home. It's never the wrong time to do the right thing. Never. And today could be your day. Would you bow your heads with me? And if you feel like somehow you just got distant, you just got off track, and the prayer of your heart is, Jesus, I want to return to you, or Jesus, I want to come to you, would you allow me to minister to you today? I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but if we could just make eye contact for a moment, just so I can kind of see what's going on. Yeah, okay. All right. I see you. Yeah. So we know even right now, even today, there are people whose lives are changing direction because they're tapping in, they're getting connected to a love that changes lives and to a joy that can truly sustain. So I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer that includes some prayers of rededication. And if that's you, I just encourage you, in whether that's under your breath or just in the stillness of your own heart, just to be praying along with me. Okay, let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you that you died on the cross to both prove your love, but also to break all of the sin, all of the death, all of the things that keep us from that love. Thank you for rising again from the grave to give us new life so that your life can flow inside of us as we stay connected to you. And we recognize that we far too easily get distracted. We far too easily go our own way. But we recognize our need for you. And we're coming home. And we're coming back. And so Jesus, thank you for being that source of joy. Lord, would you give me the strength? Would you give us the strength to turn to you in every part of the day for joy, for peace? Lord, help us to keep you at that center of our life, to make our homes in your love so that our lives and our homes might be filled with your love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.